Lord, we do thank you for your word. And again, Father, we are blessed to have it. And you tell us in your word that it's given to us for our learning, so that we can learn from examples, and we can learn not only to be a hearer of it, but to be a doer of it. And so bless us this morning as we break it down and systematically we go through word upon word, line upon line, precept upon precept, and that you will anoint it. I pray that not one word will fall to the ground, but it would pierce our hearts. And this morning you bring healing, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, even financial, but most importantly, spiritual healing. So bless us this morning, and we do give you glory and honor in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so I heard this great definition between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of men, and why the wisdom of God, is obviously, it's much greater. And the fact that if you're going to put your trust in the wisdom of men, it's not going to go, because the wisdom of men can always be changed, right? It can always, you can put your faith or your wisdom in a man and what man says, but somebody can come and say something better, and it's going to change your view. So that will always change. But the wisdom of God will never change. Amen. It's truth. You cannot change it. Okay? It's truth. It's been going on for since the beginning of time. And many try to change it, but they can never change. Science, they come up with scientific answers, but even they change. What do you call those who don't believe in God? Atheists. They change their views. In fact, I don't think they go around and say, we don't believe in God. I don't think that's true. I think they're lying right there. They just don't want to acknowledge him. They don't want to follow him. I have talked to atheists who say, I don't believe in God. And I said, well, can I pray for you? And they say, yeah, sure. Well, if you don't believe in God, why would you let me pray for you? Or what's your name? Well, you don't need to know my name. God knows my name. So they just don't, like everybody else, they just don't want to acknowledge God. That's it. They don't want God to run their lives. They don't want to know God for the very reason, because if they do, they have to change. People don't want to change. They love sin. Bottom line, they love sin. That's it. And I'll be the first to say, sin is fun, right? You would agree? But for a season, and then it brings forth death. And that's why. So we changed. When you accepted Christ, you changed. Your life changed. We do the things that normally we wouldn't have done, or we wouldn't do. And so Paul here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, he gives this contrast between the wisdom of men and compare it to the wisdom of God. So let's pick up here in verse 12. He says, now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, again, I'm not against wisdom and knowledge. I believe we need it, okay? We need it, because you can have all the knowledge there is, but if you don't have the wisdom to apply that knowledge, what good is it? But when you place that wisdom and knowledge above God's wisdom and knowledge, man's wisdom and knowledge, then it becomes wrong. It becomes an idol. That's when it's wrong. But Paul says, hey, you know what? We speak things that come from the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And I like to think of it as, you know, we, as a believer, we see things that others don't see, especially those who don't know the Lord. We hear things that others can, because the Holy Spirit is the one who ministers to our spirits concerning the spiritual things, the things of God. Now, Romans 8, chapter 16. And I like this verse, and I always would read it and say, okay, I can actually see a picture of this where Paul says that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Again, that's the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when I read that, I think of it, hey, you know, sometimes I'll be out here and I'll be talking or I'll be at the hospital somewhere and I'll look at somebody and I'm like, they got to be Christian. Something about that person there, it attracts me as a Christian because of the way they talk, or maybe because of the way they're happy. They're just happy people. Well, that's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us, that Spirit himself bears witness with God's Spirit, but he bears witness with our spirit. And if we can bear witness with the Holy Spirit, then we can bear witness with one another. And it's true. I was in the dentist office. And how many of you love the dentist? Isn't it fun to go to the dentist office? I love it. I can't wait to a little bit more, you know. I was sitting there one time, and I had to have some work done, in which I didn't like very much. And this woman came in, and she was just so full of joy and happy. And I'm looking at her, and I'm like, how can someone be so happy coming into the dentist's office, you know, that happy? And then I had to say, are you a Christian? She goes, praise God, yes, I am. And that's why. That's the reason why she was so happy. So I got happy, of course. We started talking about spiritual things. As we're sitting there talking about spiritual things, of course, the receptionist, they're right there. I can tell, Medici, corner of my eye, I'm looking at them, and they're watching, and they're listening. And then finally the dentist, the woman who helps, came in, and she starts calling. She called for me, and she called for her. But we just sat there, and we kept talking. So she's just standing there waiting. But it was awesome because I love the fact that the Spirit himself, he bears witness with our spirit. That we are the children of God, that you're a Christian. And I'm going to challenge you today. When you're out there, look at people. Look at them. And just, I wonder if that person is a Christian. That person, he's really happy, but I don't think he's a Christian because he has a big beer, you know, liquor and everything. So I can tell why he's so happy. But he ain't going to be happy at the end of the day, right? You call that fun? Man, we used to drink and get so drunk, and at the end, you get sick and everything, and you call that fun? No. But again, the things of the world, they're totally different to us, guys, right? Are they different to us? And especially what's going on in this world. But because we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God who gives us understanding of what's going on around us. That's the Holy Spirit. It comes right from the Spirit of God and from the Word of God, from the Scriptures. We got it right there that tells us what's going to happen in these times. And it reveals to us. And you know what it's called? It's called end times. It's called the last days in which we are living in right now. And I'm going to encourage you to keep your eye on Israel right now, what's going on with Iran and Israel, because that's prophetic. That's in the Word of God. What's going on? And so it's called the last days. Now I'm going to share two scriptures with you because this is the Holy Spirit revealing to us. This is the wisdom of God. It was telling us what's going on today, what we're living in. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Listen to what he says here. He says, but know this, that in the last days, how many of you feel like we're in the last days, right? Okay, how many of you feel that we're not in the last days? No? Okay. Okay, listen. This is why I'm saying the Holy Spirit reveals these things. That in the last days, in perilous times, they're going to come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despairs of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and for such people turn away. Do you see that today? what I see in the church today is what Paul said here, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Christians going around and denying that very power of God in their lives. Living for the world, but at the same time coming and trying to live for God. Matthew 24, verse 4, listen to what Jesus said. And Jesus said, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. And then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will be betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this is the gospel of the kingdom, which will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then to the end, and then the end will come. Now, he's obviously talking about the tribulation period, that when the church will be gone, we'll be gone. But it's happening now today as we speak. Earthquakes and pestilence, all these things. I mean, you cannot, yeah, that we've been seeing that happening for a long time now. It's been happening. Never in a lifetime has it all been happening at the same time and so frequently. Yeah, it's happening everywhere, places that normally they don't get earthquakes, bigger earthquakes than what we have when we're supposed to get them. So wars, rumors of war, look what all's happening. Guys, this is all being revealed by the Word of God, by the Scriptures, by the Holy Spirit. But I want to encourage you this morning, because the Lord told Isaiah this. Listen to Isaiah 41:10. He said, fear not, though. Okay? When the Lord says fear not or be not afraid, it's probably because you are afraid. Maybe you are fearing. He says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then in Isaiah 43:1, he says, but now thus saith the Lord who created you, O Jacob. He's talking about Israel, but I believe he's also talking to us as well. He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Don't you just love that personal? God says, you're mine. Amen. I'm God's. I belong to God. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they won't overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Hallelujah. Isn't that encouraging and beautiful? So if you go back to now verse 13, let's see what does verse 13 really mean here when Paul says that, you know, these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So what is the Lord really saying here when he said, hey, the Holy Spirit teaches comparing spiritual things which are spiritual? Well, the Holy Spirit, he guides us, right? He teaches us, and he teaches us to compare and to combine the spiritual things with spiritual things, obviously. Now, when we use the Word of God, when we interpret the Word of God, when we study the Word of God, what do we do? How do we do it? Well, we use the Word of God. And what we do, what we don't understand when we study the Word of God or when we read it, the things that we don't understand, what do? Well, we use other scripture references, right? We pray. Obviously, we pray. We'll use other scriptures for reference. We use the Word of God itself to interpret the Word of God. Especially the things we don't understand. Or we'll go and we'll use other books. We'll use commentaries. But most importantly, we trust in the leading of the Holy Spirit. And when we trust in the Holy Spirit, when we get into the Word of God, we know that He's the one that keeps us from all error as we follow His leadership. He won't lead us astray. And the things we don't understand, then it's very simple, okay? You ready? This is what I'm going to tell you. The things you don't understand, it's very simple what you need to do. And that is, you lean to the things that you do understand. Don't try to figure it out. If you can't figure it out, it's okay. Okay? I'm a pastor. I don't understand everything. And sometimes when I try too hard, I get a headache and everything. I have to just shut down and say, I'm done. I can't do no more. I'm just going to sit here and flop. And I just sit in the chair and I just flop there and just sit there. I'm done. It's too overwhelming. So the things that I do, I don't understand, I lean to the things that I do. What are those? Well, Jesus loves me. I am born again. I'm saved. I lean to the things that I do know, and that is Jesus Christ in Him crucified. That's what Paul said. I don't want to know nothing but Jesus Christ in Him crucified. Trust in the things that you do understand. And that's Jesus. When people ask you questions, don't be afraid that you can't answer them. I get questions all the time, and there's some that I'm like, when somebody says, hey, I got a question for him, I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, okay. I act like, oh, yeah, sure, let me have it. I love it. I'm like, and I get worried, and when I don't understand, you know how many times I didn't know the answer to that question, and I said, well, I don't know, but I'll find out, and I'll get right back to you. I lean to the things that I do understand, and I always point them right back to Jesus. Pointing back to Jesus, what's going on in the world? One of the questions here, we say, why is good things happen to good people? And I know, why do bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people? I just take them right back to Jesus Christ. You know, what's going on in the world? Take them right to Jesus. It's an opportunity to share Christ, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so Paul goes on, and look what he says in verse 14. He says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. So God is foolishness to those, to the Gentiles, to the Greeks, and to the Jews. He was a stumbling block, Jesus Christ. But here he says the natural man. In the Greek, the word man, simply what it means, man. And the word natural, that means a man who has a physical life, who's living, and the root word is soul, which means the life of a man, the consciousness, the breath, the energy. It's what makes up a man, okay? That's the natural man, okay? Did you guys know that you came from dirt? Yeah. Right? You heard, I hate to disappoint you, but you did hear that the same, how much, seven elements that are in dirt are actually in your body? Did you know that? You're just a walking dirt clod. Okay? You're a Christian, you're a dirt clod. A non-Christian's a dirt bag. Okay? So you can either be a dirt bag or you can be a dirt clod. How many of you used to throw them? Remember, my family, we used to play in the canyon, get dirt clods and throw them because they'll hit you and they explode. You got to watch out for the ones that have rocks in them, though. So that's what a man, he's just, that's the man, the natural man. But when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to the things of God, the natural man, he is what? Paul said he's spiritually discerned. That means he hears the word being taught or he sees God moving around him, but they are what? Foolishness to him. Because why? He's made up of the natural man. And he's spiritually what? Blind. He's spiritually blind. So the natural man, he's morally corrupted. He's the man whose spirit is dead to God. He's the man who has this human nature and the human nature and that's all he is. His nature is human nature, spiritually blind, apart from God. It's a Christless human nature, guys. The nature that will not believe, the nature that will not live for Christ. His life is a life lived without the presence and the affluence of Jesus Christ in their lives. And so they are what? Christless. Okay? You know what I said? The natural man is Christless. But we are Christ-like. So we are Christians. Two types of people in the world. Christless and the Christian. Okay? Not the Christ Christian, the Christian. There's a difference. Anybody can be a Christian. Go to a third world country. They'll say, oh, you're from the U.S., you're a Christian. Me and John, when we were on a train going to the northwest China, I think it was northwest, Haramchi, we were just sitting there, and we had a bunch of Uyghur people there. And right away, U.S., yeah, Christians. That's what they said. They knew it. Because we came from the U.S., we're automatic. Everyone's a Christian from the U.S., okay? I'm sorry. It's my turn. What's that? Well, the thing of it is, there's a difference between a Christian and a Christian. Christian is Christ-like, not Christ-less. And Paul told Timothy that men, they're taken captive by the enemy against their will because they are blinded and they're bound by Satan. He said this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read this to you in verse 22. Listen to what he says. He said to Timothy, he said, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, pursue faith, love, peace, and those who are called on the Lord, Lord out of pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, and humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, just like us, and that they may come to their senses and escape, and here it is, and escape the snare of the devil, and having been taken captive by him to do his will. See, when you see someone out there who's not a Christian, they're captive by the devil. They're blind by Satan. They don't know. Just like at one time, we didn't know. We made fun of it. I didn't know this stuff. And so I just did what was natural, and I had feet that were swift to do evil. And I enjoyed it. I looked forward to it. And he made us do it. And we were captive by Satan. We were captive to him. We were in bondage to sin and blinded by the truth. And it wasn't until the Holy Spirit revealed that we needed Jesus, then we broke that bondage. But that's why when the natural man hears the word of God or the things of God, that's why they're foolishness to him. Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. And if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Why? He's blinded. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him, okay, so let me ask you that. Who is wise and understanding here? Okay, all right. Woo. Yeah, good answer. Okay. My wife too. I don't think she's here. Oh, she is here. Okay. Okay. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, it's demonic. That's heavy. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And I think this is why we should pray before we share with someone. Before you go out there and you witness, you're going to share with someone. You should pray. And you should pray that the Lord will remove the blindfold that Satan has put before their eyes. Lord, open their eyes to hear. You know what's funny about that? What's funny is, see, As a Christian, we believe in is seen, correct? Right? A non-believer, a non-Christian is what? Seeing is believing. The funny thing about that, well, you know, it's not real funny, but the funny thing about that is that even though they walk around with seeing is believing, they really don't see nothing, okay? Even though they are seeing is believing, they are still blind to the truth. Because if seeing was believing, then they would see that God is real, Jesus Christ is real, the Bible is truth. All this is true. Seeing is believing. It's right there. Here I am, right in front of you. So you're not really seeing anything at all. It's not until that you have the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us who Paul said the minds of the God of this age has blinded. Who's the God of this age? Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, and a saying, but I'm going to read it through the Living Translation because I really, it makes it more the Living Bible. It says, Satan, who is the God of this evil world, has made him blind, unable to see the glorious light of the gospel that is shining upon him, or to understand the amazing message we preach about the glory of Christ, who is God. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay? We have the mind of Christ, guys. Paul tells us that we have the mind of Christ. And having the mind of Christ, now listen, having the mind of Christ doesn't mean we're infallible. Okay, if I said that right, infallible. Doesn't mean we're perfect or we shouldn't start to play God with the lives of others. And I learned that the hard way. Before I was a pastor on staff, I worked for a machine shop called T.P. Hearns. And I might have shared this. I know, Boo-Boo, you're probably going to say, oh, this 566th time. It was a machine shop. And one time, this guy, he was a prank. He was worse than me, a prank. So he went around, he put peanut butter and stuff all over our little, we had little sections here, our cubicles where we did the work. And he put sugar and junk all over. And so what did that happen? Being over there by the canal, the river, ants everywhere. And so we used what was called a burr knife. It's a three-edged knife, about this long. The blade's this long, and it's sharp on three edges. And we use that to burr out, take the burrs out of machine parts. You scrape them out. And I had all these ants, and I'm like, I started to play God. I did. God, I thought, if I was God, good thing I wasn't God, because if I was God, this would be the world. This is what I would do to everyone. And I started going like this to the ants. They're running like crazy. And lo and behold, guess who I ran into? Adam Ant. Adam Ant was there. He was on the edge. And I took that knife, and that one ant just stood there. It's all perfect. So I went slow, just like this. Okay, I'm aiming, and I went like this. I went up, and I went like this real hard, and I missed him. And the knife went through, and it went right here in my leg. And I started getting shaky, and what I missed my artery. I had to go to the emergency right there. I could feel the blood running down. They pulled it out, and they said, hey, you're lucky. You just missed your artery. Playing God. I learned it the hard way. We can't play God with the life of others, okay, not even ants. But to have the mind of Christ, it's looking at life from the Savior's point of view, okay? Having his values in mind, having his desires in mind. The Lord said that he would give you the desire of your heart. But that's having his desires in mind. It means to think on things from above, to think on God's thoughts, not to think on how the world thinks, to see others through God's eyes and not your own eyes. Bless you. I look at people differently now, especially those who aren't Christians. Come out here one day and spend your day out here, and it can get you in the flesh. All the people who are especially the homeless people, and they're violent sometimes. And sometimes I get really mad, and then I have to look at, oh, he needs the Lord too. He needs to be saved. Driving here, you know how many people needed to be saved in the morning? They need to be saved. If I was God, you know. That's what it is to have the mind of Christ. And Paul says here in verse 14, look at verse 14. He says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, Paul, he gives us three things that are said about the natural man here, or the unsaved man. So write them down. We're going to compare it to the three things of the spiritual man. Okay? Guys, especially you guys, the natural man, he says here, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. First thing, they don't receive the things of the Spirit of God. The phrase here, the word "receive not," or in the King James, "not receive," or the New King James, it means that spiritual things are not welcome as a guest in their life. They're not accepted. It means to refuse or to reject. Spiritual things are of little of any concern of the natural man, for his mind is primarily upon the world and in fulfilling the flesh or the pleasures of the flesh. That's the natural man. We did it. We were like that. We did what was natural, right? Doing bad, doing wrong, that was a natural thing to do for us until we finally realized, hey, that's the natural man. I'm not a natural man anymore. Secondly, write it down, the natural man considers the things of God as what? Foolishness. It's foolishness. The word foolishness in the Greek means dull. It means absurd. It means distasteful. It means silliness. And the natural man cannot understand how us Christians, they just can't understand Christians. Sometimes they don't understand you, right? How many people you know, loved ones, family members, they just don't understand you sometimes. Or they just don't want to. They don't want to accept that. Okay? Why? One thing they don't understand is, how can you be like that when God has did this to you? How can you be so joyful, happy? Well, I get that sometimes, you know, about my leg, my pain every day, all night long. Well, how could you be like that? Well, because I know that I have a new body waiting for me. Amen. And today, I'm one day closer to that new body. Amen. That keeps me going. And the fact that I'm going to be 6'2". How tall are you? 6'4". I'm going to be 6'6". Yeah, 6 foot, I changed it, 6'6". Okay, I'm going to have a neck, and I'm going to be wearing skinny jeans or a skinny robe. So again, that's why. They don't understand that sometimes. They can't understand Christians. They just don't want to. Why? Because we live in two different worlds, guys. Right? Besides, we are in the world, but what? We're not of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. So we live in two different worlds. And then thirdly, the natural man cannot know the spiritual things. They can't. Notice the word cannot, or your translation may say does not. It is not only that the natural man will not or does not know the spiritual things, but he cannot know them. He can't. He's incapable of knowing them. He's unable, helpless to know them. Why? Because the natural man is blinded to the spiritual things. That's very simple. They're spiritually discerned. And that word discerned means what? When you have discernment, it means what? To investigate. It means to judge. It means to scrutinize, to examine, or estimate. Well, the spiritual things have to be discerned by who? By the Holy Spirit. Not by the natural man. not by a man who primarily is living in his own nature, his own natural self. Spiritual things can only be discerned by the Holy Spirit that is living in us. That's why we pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He comes upon me and he gives me that ability to what? Discern between what? What are the two things that he good and evil. That's what he gives you to discern between, to know what's right and wrong, good and evil, hot and cold. Okay? Truths and lies. Yeah, we can go on. You can go on and on. That's the Holy Spirit. Look what he says in verse 15. He says, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. And even though we are spiritual men, and we understand the will of the Lord in our lives, we should, the world cannot figure us out. Why do you think they're killing people in third world countries, the believers, when they become Christians? They're killing them. They don't understand. How can you leave Muslim, the faith? How can you leave Islam? How can you leave this other type of cult? The world can't figure us out. They can't understand why you go to Bible study, why you read the Bible, why you spend time worshiping, even why you give your money to the church. I've heard that. Why are you giving your money to the church? You don't even have money. You know, or why did you lose? One of the biggest things was, why did you quit your job? You had a perfect job at General Dynamics. You made a lot of money. You had benefits. You had all these stocks and everything, and you left it. Why? Loco. Crazy. You didn't know I know Spanish. Crazy. Loco. Why? Well, because of my love for God. They couldn't understand that. Why do you spend time in worship? Why do you do these things? The world's trying to figure us out. Well, verse 15. But he is spiritual, judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Now I'm going to give you three things that Paul said about the spiritual man. I gave you three for the natural man. Write this down. Now here's the spiritual man. He says in verse 15 that the spiritual man judges or discerns all things. Okay? That word judges, it means it's the same meaning, meaning of the word discern in verse 14. Which again, the word discern means to investigate, to judge, scrutinize, examine, and estimate. So the man who believes in Jesus Christ experiences the greatest things of all, right? Can you agree? I agree with that. We experience a lot of things. I experience things that I would have never experienced as a non-Christian, if I lived as a non-Christian. I would have never left San Diego. I've been all over the world practically almost as a believer. I would have never left San Diego. But the man who believes in Jesus, he experiences many things. And that is, first of all, that the Spirit of God, he's in us. He dwells in us. He's in our bodies. He changed us, converted our body into the holy temple of God's presence. Guys, you know what you are? You're God containers. You're God containers. You contain God in your life now. You contain the Holy Spirit in your life. You contain the things of God in your life now. Prior to that, what were you containing? Rotten and spoiled food. Now we have non-perishable food in us. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, okay? If the Spirit of God dwells in you, now, if anybody does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? What was the Ark of the Covenant for? What was it used for? For the presence of God to dwell. And therefore, they were able to what? Take God with them where they went. Okay? And then one day, God said, okay, you don't need that no more. And so they put it away. But what happened when they tried to raise it up again? They lost. They lost the battle, got defeated, and the Ark of the Covenant was stolen because God said, you're looking to the creation instead of the Creator. And he said, now, guys, thank the Lord that we don't have to walk around the little box here. I mean, it's okay. I don't mind. Or a box here or carry a ark around. He says, now you're the ark. You're the God container. God dwells in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? The Holy Spirit lives in you. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So we actually partake in the divine nature of God, and we become a new creation in him, because 2 Peter 1:4 tells us, by which we've been given exceedingly great and precious promises. You know what those promises are? What are they? The word of God. The precious promises of God. It's the word of God that you have. All those promises, everything. Everything in that God promised you. He says we have been given them. And through those promises, we can partake of his divine nature and having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, through God's nature. So again, it's like father, like son. Okay, I read some things about the son saying, hey, Dad, I want to be like you. I want to be like you. And God says, I don't really have, the father, I really don't have time right now, okay, and I don't have time. And then later on, God, the father can't, you know, he can't do much anymore, and he looks at his son, and he says, son, I really want to spend time with you. And the son says, you know what, Dad, I really don't have time. I don't have the time. You are who you hang around with, okay? You want me to sing Cats in the Cradle to you? I can. Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Colossians 3:10, and having put on the new man who's renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. 2 Corinthians 5:17. There you go. Yeah. We are a new creation in Christ. All the old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And then secondly, the spiritual man is not understood by the natural man. And I want you to notice how here, how the scripture, the word says that in verse 15, the spiritual man is what? Judged of no man. That's what he said. Paul says in 15, so in context of this passage right here, in this verse, the word no one, he's talking about who? The natural man. The natural man. The man we just talked about. The natural man has little concern of the knowledge of Christ, a little concern of knowledge of God. There is no human way he can understand the spiritual man. He don't get it. He doesn't understand. Don't wake me up. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to Bible study. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to do the things of God. I want to go. It's a happy hour. Well, fine. Go to happy hour. I'm happy every hour. So I don't need to go to. I remember that this one man. Okay, boo-boo, number 588. Okay. At my brother's wedding and sitting there. And one guy was sitting there and he was like drunk as a skunk. And he looks at, so, Steve, tell me, what do pastors do to have fun? I said, everything you do, but sober. And he just didn't say nothing after that. He can't, because he don't understand. He doesn't understand that. A man knows, did you know that a man knows only that which he experiences and studies? Whatever you experience in your life or whatever you study, that's what you're going to know. There's no way a man can judge spiritual things unless what? He experiences and studies spiritual things. Therefore, the natural man cannot understand why we want to, you know, put all our efforts in and why we waste our time upon the matters that are not of this world, but of God's world, of church, of fellowship. They don't understand this. They don't understand why we don't live like the world lives. Because why? We are not what? We're not of the world. The natural man feels, you know, that our primary concern should be upon the world and stop wasting our time and our money on God. That's how they feel. And they will try to argue over the little knowledge that he might have about spiritual things. You see it. They go up against Charlie Kirk and other of these men of God who go to these colleges, and they debate with all these very smart individuals. I couldn't do that. Well, I could do it through Christ. And I watch them, and I'm like, wow, they just shut them up just like this. They think they have the answer. They think they can out-talk scriptures and the Bible. But the minute they try, they're shut down. They can't. They can't go up again. Just like the Pharisees did to Jesus. Oh, tell us this. Tell us this. They always, what, walked away? Shut them down. Walked away silent. They couldn't. But that's the natural man. They try to argue over the knowledge that we have. They just don't understand us sometimes. To him, the spiritual man is a fool, bottom line, for passing up the world and all the good things in the world that the world has to offer. My very first person that I ever led to the Lord was at General Dynamics. And this guy told me, I was sharing God with them. He looked at me, he goes, I don't believe in God. I went, I didn't know how to answer him. I went away. I left it like that. Well, that evening, I went to church Wednesday night right here in the North Park Theater. And Mike got up. He shared a scripture out of Psalms. It says, the fool in his heart says there is no God. And the minute he said that, whoa, man, my light went up. Next morning, I couldn't wait. I went there. I saw him. Hey, James, the fool in his heart says there is no God. He looked at me. He just walked away. The next morning he came in, he says, you scared me. You scared me. I want to receive Christ. We prayed right there, and he received the Lord. I wanted to hang him up on the wall with a push pin. He was the very first person that I had, the very first wedding that I did. Then he was the very first divorce. But, I know. I said, man, he's the first of everything, okay? So anyways, they don't understand. And then thirdly, write this down about the spiritual man. The spiritual man has what? The mind of Christ. And this is the reason why the believers, we can discern spiritual things, is because we have the mind of Christ. He says that in verse 16. For who knows the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Well, what does this mean? Doesn't mean that the spiritual man knows all there is to know about Christ. Obviously, we don't. Or we don't know everything, or we're perfect. But it means that our minds are focused upon God and the things of God, just like the mind of Christ was, just like Jesus did. He said, he gave us the example. Hey, follow after my example. Read it. In Ephesians chapter 5, Colossians 3:2, listen to what Paul said. Set your mind on things above. What are the things above? The things of God, okay? Set your mind on the things of God. No, not on the things of the earth. What are the things of the earth? Okay, you guys can answer that yourself, okay? For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who's our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil, desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them, but now you yourself are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and having put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. It's the Spirit of God who draws us and stirs up our mind to have that mind of Christ and to be able to discern spiritual things. Think like Jesus thinks. Look at what he says in verse 16. For who knows the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And how do you have the mind of Christ? Well, he lives in us by what? His Spirit. He gives us his word. Gives us the word to the scriptures. We have fellowship. We're doing. See, that's the reason why you're here, because we're getting that, renewing that mind of Christ in us. Romans 8, 5 and 6. Okay. For those who live according to the flesh, what? Set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. And I'm going to leave you with this scripture, last scripture. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Listen to what Paul said. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death on the cross. Says Jesus did not find it robbery to be equal with God. And he told Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You should be able to say, when they say, show me Jesus, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. Because that's who they're recognizing in you. That's who they're. That's why they're asking you, because you're talking about Jesus. So they're seeing Jesus in you. Amen? Let's pray.